The Destroyers, written by Douglas Riemann and read by David Rintoul.
Author's note. As I gather material and do research for each new book, I'm quite frequently asked how I continue to unearth themes for the next manuscript and the one after that. In fact, the breadth of sea history, both ancient and contemporary, the many experiences of ships and sailors, never fail to awe me. Far from being denied plots for future stories, I sometimes seem unable to keep pace with those which I discover in my endless search. Small but incredible acts of courage and endurance seem to rise up from the grander records of campaigns and barely remembered wars. When I was writing this book, it was hard to accept that such deeds were in fact carried out by British warships in the Second World War, not least by the old destroyer Campbelltown at Saint-Nazaire. My story, like the title, is double-edged. It is about a flotilla of out-of-date warships, destroyers, which, because of war's incessant demands and greed, were pushed against terrible odds, almost without regard to losses. But it also concerns the men who controlled their destinies, men driven to the edge of endurance, who in turn became the destroyers. Forced by various reasons to face each hazard, they still retained their more personal standards. Duty, fear, the need to destroy the enemy, each other if so ordered, these men were a part of history, of war itself. Chapter 1. The Destroyer. Lieutenant Commander Keith Drummond kept his head lowered as he walked around the deep puddles left by overnight rain. It was nearly dawn, and the air had a bite like midwinter. He hesitated and looked up at the departing clouds, the dull greyness of which matched the worn dockyard buildings and the looming shapes of vessels, which still lay quietly at crowded jetties or protruded above nearby wharves and basins. But it was early June, and the year 1943. He stretched his arms and yawned, tasting the dampness, the smells of salt and oil, of wet metal and discarded waste. The untidy sprawl of the Royal Naval Dockyard at Chatham seemed almost peaceful in the gloom, he thought. In a short while, all would be different again. The resting ships would come alive to the din of rivet guns and screeching saws, while above the open basins, the tall gantries would sway and then plunge down, like gaunt herons searching for food, as the work of building and repairing, boiler cleaning and restoring, got underway. Two shadowy figures detached themselves from a wall, and a voice asked irritably, "Who's this, then?" They were dockyard policemen. Drummond stepped over some railway lines and approached them. The first policeman said, "Oh, it's you, sir." He touched his cap. "Surprised to see someone about so early." Drummond nodded. It was unusual to see dockyard policemen so far from their cubbyholes and fires, for that matter. The other one said importantly, "The tug's brought a destroyer in last night, sir." He gestured to the dry dock at his back. "Too dark to do much. We're just here to make sure that..." He looked at his companion and added awkwardly, "Well, you know how it is, sir. She hit a mine in the estuary. Most of her engine room blokes were killed. They're still inside. Can't get them out till daylight." Drummond walked to the side of the dock and peered down at the long, narrow hull. Even in the poor light, he could see the damage, could even see it happening, as if she had been his own ship. The bridge superstructure smashed half over the side, as if pounded by some giant hammer, buckled guardrails, and one funnel laid out on deck, like a huge coffin. He said coldly, "Yes, I know exactly how it is." A destroyer had been mined and towed into another dockyard nearby. She, too, had had dead sailors trapped below deck, left to wait for the water to be pumped clear, for the men with cutters to hack their way through. But when daylight had found them, the dead had been robbed, money and watches gone. No wonder these policemen sounded embarrassed. Everyone had been most insistent that somebody else had been responsible. Just one of those things.